Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
February 9th, 2024. We are tuned into the first portion, which is the Tawana recitation for regular Friday service, Juma service. The Kufa, the sermon, will not begin until another 30 minutes from now. We follow in the tradition of Prophet Muhammad, heaven and peace be upon him, and he requested that we read chapter 18 of the Quran on Friday. So at this time here, for the next 25, 30 minutes, we will say chapter 18 of the Quran. Here at about 5:10, we make the first advance. Let's call the prayer, and then we begin the prayer at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave, and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward, wherein they will abide forever, and to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son.
كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا.
A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor have their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps. Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا.
And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight.
فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا.
Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years.
ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا.
And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاضًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوِ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking, though they were asleep, and we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner we disclosed them to the people of the city that they might know that the promise of Allah is true, and that as for the hour there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them. Those who won their point said, We verily shall build a place of worship over them.
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say they were three, their dog the fourth, and some say five, their dog the sixth, guessing at random, and some say seven and their dog the eighth. Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, Lo, I shall do that tomorrow, except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest, and say, It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this. And it is said, They tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا.
Say, Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is He, and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside Him, and He maketh none to share in His government.
واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change his words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking His countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, it is the truth from the Lord of you all, then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces, calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grapes, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men.
وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا.
And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَى رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou entered thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There's no strength save in Allah. Though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside. Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah, the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward and better in respect of hope.
ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills and ye see the earth emerging and we gather them together so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا.
And remember, when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them.
وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا.
And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape then.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
And naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وما نرسل المرسلين إلا مبشرين ومنذرين ويجادل الذين كفروا بالباطل ليدحضوا به الحق واتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright.
وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا.
Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape.
وَتِلْكَ الْقُرَىٰ أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ لَمَّا ظَلَمُوا وَجَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا.
And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا.
And when Moses said unto his servant, I will not give up until I reach the point where the two rivers meet, though I march on for ages.
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَا مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَا حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا.
And when they reached the point where the two met, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the waters, being free.
فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَا قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِيْنَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا.
And when they had gone further, he said unto his servant, Bring us our breakfast. Verily, we have found fatigue in this our journey.
قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا.
He said, Didst thou see when we took refuge on the rock and I forgot the fish, and none but Satan caused me to forget?
Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ مَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا. قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا. فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا. قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا. قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا. فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا
قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا
He said, Did I not tell thee that thou couldst not bear with me?
قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا
Moses said, If I ask thee after this concerning aught, keep not company with me. Thou hast received an excuse from me.
فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا
So they twain journeyed on till when they came unto the folk of a certain township. They asked its folk for food, but they refused to make them guests. And they found therein a wall upon the point of falling into ruin, and he repaired it. Moses said, If thou hadst wished, thou couldst have taken payment for it.
سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا
He said, This is the parting between thee and me. I will announce unto thee the interpretation of that thou couldst not bear with patience.
أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا
As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working on the river, and I wished to mar it, for there was a king behind them who was taking every ship by force.
وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا
And as for the lad, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief.
فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما
And we intended that their Lord should change him for them for one better in purity and nearer to mercy.
وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا
And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure belonging to them. And their father had been righteous, and thy Lord intended that they should come to their full strength and should bring forth their treasure as a mercy from their Lord. And I did it.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu in la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected, the first enemy. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم with the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jal. Nasta'inuhu, we only do we ask for help. Nastaghfiruhu, and you only do we seek for forgiveness. Wa nu'minu bihi, and we believe in you, azza wa jal. We highly glorify this here. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. We bear witness there is no God except Allah and there is none worthy of worship besides Him. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله محمد عبده ورسوله. And we bear witness Muhammad is his Abdul is his servant, ورسول and his messenger. صلى الله عليه وسلم. The prayers and peace of God be upon him. Fa'al Elihi wa Sahaba Ishmael Amabad. And peace be upon his family and his companions and his and us, the righteous. Ameen. Good beloved Muslims and guests, the peace that only God can give is with you. Assalamu alaikum. We give praise to Allah, we say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That is the perfect praise belonging to God. We give that praise to Allah. As believers coming together in a group, Jamaat. Jamaat means the group. The word Juma comes from the very same root as Jamaat. Or Jamia means collect, could come together. And also means Friday. Also means Friday. So alhamdulillah. So the best day of the week for the Muslim is Friday. It's really as big as our two holidays. Where we have either Fitri, either Aha. Those are big days for us. But the Jummah day, Jummah is bigger than the two Eids. That's how important it is for us to come together as believers on Jummah day. It is not a Sabbath. You know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, but the Jews have Saturday for Sabbath, and the Christians have Sunday for Sabbath, and you all have Friday for Sabbath. No, we don't have Friday for Sabbath. We don't have the concept of Sabbath in Islam. Sabbath is a concept in the Judeo-Christian thinking. They say God took a rest. And in Islam, Allah don't take a rest. We believe right now as we're speaking, Allah is constantly creating right now. He is constantly creating. And also by extension, anything that we create is still Allah creating because he gave us the brain, the hand, and the resources to make it. So we can get this further extending the creation. So there is no idea on concept of Sabbath. Sabbath means to rest. Go somewhere and rest. And people who have those nice jobs, the pay gear, they get a Sabbath too. It's called a sabbatical, right? So we don't have a Sabbath in Islam. No, we don't have that. Alhamdulillah. Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. You can hold your questions to later, okay?
Right.
Okay, no problem. No problem. We're coming upon the blessed month of Ramadan. Ramadan. The ninth month of the Islamic calendar. The month used for, the month in which Allah tells us to fast during this month of Ramadan. And Ramadan can be, or any month in the lunar calendar, it's either 29 or 30 days, but never 28 days, and never 31 days. No month in the Muslim calendar is, it's either 29, half or 29 and a half or 30 days, pretty much. And we go from the new moon to the new moon. And those of us who've been around for a while, we know the new moon can't see. The new moon is really called the black moon because it hasn't begun to create a little bitty crescent yet. But when that crescent is first seen by the naked eye, we used to say, the new month is in And if it's the ninth month, we begin fasting that next day. And we fast until it goes through all 29 or 30 days until the next new crescent come in. And we say the Ramadan has ended, let's go celebrate the Holy Feast. And the celebration is always sweet. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet Muhammad said, peace be upon him, said this, there's two things that the Muslim who has fasted while they're happy. And the first important reason is what? I have pleased my Lord. And the Prophet was down to earth. He said, the second reason is I can now eat. So that's how it should be, right? That's how it should be. The topic today is that we were all born Ramadan ready. Ever since you've been born, you've been Ramadan ready. You say, I'm not a Muslim. You're still born Ramadan ready. What does that mean? That all that is needed, the fast for Ramadan, the disciplines, Allah put it in our very nature. Allah put it in our very makeup as human beings to observe fasting. Allah put it in our very nature, our very original nature. There's no coincidence. There's no coincidence that Ramadan is the ninth month on the Islamic calendar. And it's no coincidence that the baby is born in the ninth month. There is a connection. I'm saying that you were born Ramadan ready. Yeah. You just learned about it. You learned about it and get the wisdom from it. You say, I was made for this, and this was made for me. I was made to fast in Ramadan, and fasting in Ramadan was made for me. All the benefits we get from Ramadan, the discipline, and our mind, body, and soul. Allah made this for me and made me for this. As a matter of fact, we understand that everything in this on our five pillars, we were born ready. In other words, we were equipped to meet all the requirements of it. Allah did not make us incompatible with our religion. All that we were given in our religion, Al-Islam, is based upon the very nature that Allah made us in. Let's go read chapter 30, verse 30 of the Quran. You see it right there. Famous day. Famous day. Chapter 30, verse 30. Allah says that he made the religion on the same pattern that he made the human being. And saying that the human being is made on the same pattern. And Allah says, don't change that. He said, that is the standard for religion. So as time went on, people gave it names and gave it descriptions. You got the rituals, and we got these rituals and so forth and so on. And those rituals have benefit, and we should keep them because there's a lot of wisdom in them. But the standard of religion is the human nature in its original form. When did paradise start? How did paradise start? With Adam and Eve in paradise, how? In their original form. And they fell from grace, or they lost contact with that original form, and we've been trying to get back to it ever since. So Allah, in his mercy, sent us the prophet and the religion and the Quran based upon that paradise of the Garden of Eden. That was get back to that which our souls yearn for. Yes, that original state of paradise, the Garden of Eden. Now, I'm working on my family tree, right? So I'm trying to put some things together for it. And there's a verse in the Bible that says that four rivers went out from the garden and became kids, right? I'm using that as an analogy for my four grandparents, right? So then I began to look at the images, and they kept trying to say that the Euphrates and the Tigris and all that go back over to some point in the Middle East. And I said, oh, my goodness, they need help. That's not where the Garden of Eden is. You know where the Garden of Eden is? You know what the Garden of Eden is? It's in your original soul. It's not outside of you. It's inside of you. And so Allah gives us prophets and directions and guidance to bring us back to that soul. It's called Nef Mukmaina. Soul in complete rest and satisfaction. Pleasing to itself and pleasing to its Lord. Yes, into you, my devotee, into my paradise. Into you, into my heaven. So Ramadan is like perfect. Like to get us back. Even yes, I fly prayers or too. I'll be doing this but Ramadan is that discipline that says stop. You don't say slow down. It says stop. Right? Listen. And we can't stop and listen going about our days fulfilling our appetites. And over the course of the year, the appetites begin to, well, we should have control over our appetites, right? That's the right hand, the right mind, conscious mind, right? Left hand, appetites, emotions, right? But by the time a year passed by, they didn't like change positions on us. Yeah, we got our appetites. Oh, I got to do this. I got to have that. I want this. I think double size that. Yeah, double. You see, it's already double. I know, double it. Right? Oh, you need Ramadan bad. Yeah, people going talking, gossiping all day. Oh, you need Ramadan real bad. They gossiping. I once said a long time ago, it ain't gossip if it's the truth. Yes, it is. Because they can't defend themselves. They're not here to defend themselves. Yeah, Ramadan does all that because you can't do a whole lot of jawjacking. We call it jawjacking there. But you can't be, Ramadan say all that talking you be doing. No, stop it. Yeah. So what Ramadan is? Ramadan is designed to slow us down, and really we got to stop. You know when the police arrest somebody, that's really it's saying. AT, rest. And if you can't hold still rest, they say, we got a whole house for you, a big old house for you. Put you at rest. It's called prison. Yeah. And when you get to the prison, the concept of a cell, the prison cell, is and I got this from the chaplain, a Christian chaplain at the prison. He said they built the concept of the prison cell based upon the monks in the monasteries. In the isolation. You are here in society, you can't control yourself. Appetites dominating you and ruling you and pushing you around, controlling your life. Well, you got to go back into your cell. And the word cell, C-E-L-L, is connected with the word soul. So you're too far away from your original self, your original soul. You're too far away from the garden of paradise because your mind is being pulled by the appetites and the invites of the world. The Ramadan says, stop. As the Imam Muhammad shared with us, the physical child that is in the mother's womb is really, in the physical sense, fully developed in 8 months. So what's the last 30 days for? Same reason as Ramadan. Discipline. That to hold you still. Obey the nature. Yeah, you kick, twist, but you can't get out. And you fast. And you eat in darkness. As we eat in Ramadan in darkness. For how many days? 30 days. Then the child comes. Free of all sin. We emerge from Ramadan If you fasted those 30 days right, you emerge from Ramadan with all your past sins forgiven. Yeah, the nature that Allah made in the baby, the nature that Allah made in the disciplines of Ramadan, and the nature in our very makeup, they're all in one accord. There's no distraction. There's no breakdown in between the communication. And Allah would not have sent any of us here unless he had given us the potentials and the ability to complete the month of Ramadan. And that's a, and now, for some of us, and I know for me, I fast so much. When I first began fasting, it was like, it was a struggle. Yeah, but I made it. Yeah, but I'm like, the struggle. It was a dignified struggle. It was a, it gave your muscle to your backbone. Yeah, you stand up straight. And you feel real good. I mean, the first time I finished Ramadan, you say, well, you would go home, look in the mirror and say, I made it. I did it. I mean, it's like, hey, and you feel pretty good. You want to tell somebody. And guess what I just did? Yeah. Then the next year, you do it again. You do it again. But what is that doing for you? It's bringing you back to the Garden of Eden. It's bringing your soul back into peace. It's bringing you back in line with nature to where Allah made us to have mind over matter, intellect over material things. And fasting is there. Allah says fasting is you. He says here in the Quran, over the last few minutes, from the Jew, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, as you have been, I'm a new kutuba alaykum asiyamu. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you. Yes, it's kama kutuba alay aladina tablikum, as it was prescribed for those who came before you. The fact is not new, right? And it says, the reason it says, la'allakum tatakuna, so that you may learn tatakuna. What is tatakun? Referring to your taqwa. What is taqwa? Your God consciousness. So Allah says, fasting is prescribed for you as it was to those before you, so we can learn to control ourselves with a God consciousness. With a God consciousness. You got the God consciousness, then we're okay. If you don't have God consciousness, then it's not fasting. You get going on a diet. You just trying to lose some weight. You know how some people, Ramadan come, they say, well, I'm going to weigh myself first day of Ramadan and see how much weight I lose. But you're fasting for the scale. You're fasting to lose weight. You're not fasting for Allah. Allah says fasting is for one specific reason, that you may learn taqwa, self-restraint, self-control, with the God consciousness. That's the reason for fasting. And Allah, he equipped us properly while we were still in the wombs of our mother. Can't never forget that. While we were still in the wombs of our mother, Allah equipped us completely for fasting, to learn self-restraint. Allah says, fasting for a fixed number of days. Any of you are ill, or you're on a journey, you're traveling, then you don't fast while you're ill. If you got to take medication, you don't fast. This is in the Quran right here. Now, sometimes, you can, I've seen some do it. They say, well, I get to my medicine at nighttime and they can rotate it. Well, I can't tell you what to do. I've asked you one thing. Check with your doctor before you do that. Check with your doctor before you do that. Why? Because the body and the metabolism, and there's a certain way, there's a word for it. I can't think of it now. I'm not a doctor. But the medicine builds to a certain level. Right, once you take so many pills, the ability to a certain level to maintain whatever it's there for. And you change that all of a sudden, you may want to talk to your doctor first. We got some nurses back here. They can help me out as well. I got a name for it. I know it when I hear it, but I don't know it. So if you're on medication and you got to take medication, don't fast. You say, well, what do you do? But the Lord tells you what you can do. If you can afford it, you feed poor people. You feed a poor person every day, the equivalent of what you would eat. You can't give them leftovers. You can't give them something worse than what you eat. You got to give them what you eat. Because Allah's plan is that we learn and become, and his mercy is there. The fasting is just as much a part of our nature as anything else. And for those who don't fast, you find them in the worst conditions in life, health-wise, personality-wise. Because when you're fasting, and you got a refrigerator full of all the foods you want, your favorite drink that's in the fridge, and the missile can go in there and look in the fridge and not be fazed. Not be fazed. I mean, when I sit with friends, we had a get-together during Ramadan, and I feel sorry for them. Well, I feel sorry for them. Because they look at me because they know it's Ramadan, right? And he had to make this meeting, and they all got plates, and they're looking at me, trying to cover their light, because they feel sorry for me. They're like, oh, I feel so bad. He's in front of him, and he can't eat. And then one said to me, like, did something bother you? I said, no, I'm fasting. But well, I want to tell them, I'm going to tell them this year, you know, don't feel sorry for me. I really feel sorry for you that you're not fasting. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting the benefits and the blessings of this, you can't control your thought. You can't control your appetite. You can't say no to the smallest of things because it's unchecked. And the Quran says there's nothing worse than an appetite unchecked by knowledge. An appetite unchecked by knowledge. Oh, they are connoisseur. You know, and when I hear that word, this is a bucket right here moment, okay? When they say they are connoisseur, I hear this word, I hear a kind of sewer, like a drain, a sewer, you know, because they just take it all in. They take it all in. I'm like, no. Allah says, stop. Stop. Don't do that. I did not make you to be a creature to where your appetites control you. Isn't it a wonderful picture that Allah put the head above the stomach for a reason? Because the head is supposed to be in control over the stomach. The more people we know, or many people we know, they're upside down when it comes to that. Their stomach controls their mind. Their desires control their intellect. Allah says, no, we don't have it that way. You would not get the best that I have for you if you are a victim of appetites, because the shaitan, the devil, is going to come and keep on tickling and playing with and encouraging your appetites. Because once you give in to your appetites, then he has control over you, mm-hmm. for your feelings. So Ramadan is not just about food and drink. It's about the whole human makeup, your feelings. Have control over your feelings, your emotions, your passions. Have control over them. And Ramadan will give you that discipline. Somebody come here, they say, they see you in a bad situation. They see you being mistreated. They say, man, if I was you, I'd be upset. If they did me like that, oh, no, I wouldn't take that. Then they ask you, they say, are you mad? Yes, I'm mad. But my anger can't control me. Isn't that the advice of Rasulullah, the Prophet Muhammad? The man asked me to give him one time, he wanted some real serious wisdom from the Prophet. He said, oh, teach me something, dear Holy Apostle. Yeah? And the Prophet just said, do not become angry. That's all he said to him. I guess he wanted something. I don't know what he wanted. But he said, do not become angry. Also, we are told that if you are angry, what should a Muslim do? Go sit down. And as you're sitting down when the anger first started, what should you do? Lay down. Lay down. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. What is sitting down, laying down do it? It's bringing you to a resting position. You can find yourself inside of yourself. Yes, yes. Just a little side note, I think it fits. We had training in the fire department. We had the tank on and a box no wider than this rostrum and no taller than this. We had a tank on and it got wires, dangling wires. We had to crawl through it. And Debbie, and what I found out, if I stopped Debbie 15, 20 seconds, I realized that I was into a zone. I didn't realize that I would stop and breathe. My mind would clear up. Like a box of being dazed and getting the mind clear, just like that. Being at rest. Find yourself. And so for the Muslims, we vicar, right? Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Which means glory be to God, right? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praise be to God. What is that doing for us? It's bringing us to a place of rest so that our conscious mind can come back and take control over our emotional side. That's life. And Ramadan does that. It brings you in control over your passions, your appetites. The jinn is a sign. It's made of fire. It is fire. Passions, appetites. It burns. It consumes, right? Fire burns everything. So it's saying fire, it's saying passions that burn. So if we're not careful, the passions that burn will consume us like a jinn. And if we're not careful, a jinn can become worse and become a shaitan. So we fast in Ramadan to put that fire under control and keep that fire under control. And when we do that, the blessings come. So Ramadan is very part of your makeup, your very nature. Every human being, I don't care what they call themselves, Muslim, Christian, Jew, or atheist, the discipline, the purpose, the benefits of Ramadan is in every human soul, every human person. So we want to have control over our passions. We don't deny our passions. We're not robots. So we have feelings. We have sentiments. But they don't control us. They're not there to control us. They're not there to dominate our lives. Alhamdulillah. So we ask Allah to bless us as we approach the coming of Ramadan. And know that Ramadan is your best friend. Well, Elif Ram is your best friend. Ramadan is part of it. It's your best friend. Sometimes best friends will tell you what you don't want to hear. A real friend will say, no, you need help. A real friend. A fake friend, oh, man, you're cool. You got it going on. You know, no, that's your worst friend. So we thank Allah. LeBron, I'm telling you, if you're doing your house, I'm not saying, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Allah grant us good excellence in this life. Grant us good excellence in the life to come. Accura. And protect us from the torment of the fires of sin. Amen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم So we are told in the Quran that for believers, fasting is prescribed for us. Prescribed. Kutubah means it's already been written. Prescribed, right? Even in English, pre means before, right? Scribe means to write. So prescribe, a prescription means it was written before we even came into awareness. It was already written in our very nature, right? It's already there. We may learn self-restraint of the tatakuna. And Ramadan is us, again, coming back to our nature, our fitra, in the Arabic, fitra. And so when we complete Ramadan, we celebrate that. It's called Eid al-Fitr, the celebration of a return, a victorious return. Eid means that it means a victorious return, a happy return. So some say Eid Saeed about it, right? A happy return to our Fitr, to our original nature. So our God consciousness, that is our taqwa, must be the master over our appetites. Must be. And so Allah gave us the Quran, the knowledge, so we can be in control over our appetites. With the month of Ramadan, it was a paradigm shift. It was a watershed moment for the whole human family. When what happened in Ramadan? The Quran came, first five verses, right? Major shift for the thinking of the human family. What else happened? Muhammad went from just being Ibn Abdullah to becoming Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a major shift. It was the birth of the day of Muhammad, you say. You say, well, when did the day of Muhammad end? It's not going to end. As long as human beings are on earth, the day of Muhammad is here. So this is a major event. What else happened on that night? So, Laylatul Qadr, right? The night of Qadr. What else happened that night? The answer to all previous religions began. Not some, all. All of them. Because coming with Muhammad coming into prophecy was like, this is the one. It was the wife, his wife's cousin or uncle, Rabaka ibn Wafa, right? She went and he came back from his first revelation he received, but the prophet was like confused, like, what happened? The angel Jibril talked to him, it was out of the ordinary. He went back to his wife Khadija. What happened? Am I okay? She said, you're a good man. He said, let me go get my uncle. Some say cousin, right? Walika. I think it's Walika ibn Nafl, I'm sure it is. And when a Christian heard what happened to Muhammad, he was the first to confirm he has to be the one that we've been waiting for. So this night of power, the Quran was born, Muhammad came into his prophethood that was born, and the answers that religion had been waiting for was answered with the coming of Islam. And ever since then, the world has been quite successful because of that beginning in Ramadan. So Ramadan for us is a very special month. We look forward to it. And just in closing, and this is my own experience and some of you know it too, stopping eating and drinking becomes so minor and so little. I think people don't realize, they say, oh, you all fast in Ramadan? Yes, a lot of Muslims fast year-round, every Monday and every Thursday. They fast other times as well. Because of the discipline that it brings and the message and the intent of it. So, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So my last note here says, the Quran is the book that has brought to humanity the knowledge of human freedom and excellence. So during this month, during the month of Ramadan, we read the whole book from cover to cover. Cover to cover. In the last few years, what, 5 years now or longer? We get together, we about what, two or three, maybe five or ten, I think about 15, 20 now. We all get on the same phone call and read the Quran together. So we give the number always. People smiling and say, hey, sign me up for that. That's right. So, alhamdulillah. So, Allah has given us the best. And us having the best is a debt we owe. Because Allah did not have to give it. And now we have it. We owe a debt. We owe a debt to His mercy He gave to us. We owe a debt to those who paved the way before us. We owe a debt to those who are coming after us. So let us do our part by being the best human being we can be. And in closing, the longest, this is my dedication I tend to do every time I speak into a stop. But as long as the innocent Palestinians are being killed, the last number I heard was 24,000. That's the last I heard. And it's like, that's 24,000 that they found. How many more are under the rubble? And so we cannot be quiet about such things as going on. It's not right. But also, as a believer, you have to have sincere, not artificial, concern for the innocent Jews that were kidnapped and killed too. If we follow the example of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah means the messenger of God. If we follow his example, what did he say, what did he do? What does the Quran say about the innocent? It doesn't list, according to this religion, that religion, the innocent or the innocent. It'd be Jew or Muslim, whatever. But it's so unbalanced, so wrong, what's being done to the Palestinian people. I call it a military intensification. That's all what it is, genocide. Straight up genocide. So you can't say that word. If I say this is a phone, it's a phone. You know, microphone is microphone. That's genocide, it's genocide. I'm not going to lie to my intelligence. I can't do that. And it's wrong, you need to stop. And I still just like that our government gave billions of dollars to the effort. I don't like it. They say, well, you shouldn't say that. Well, don't tell me I'm an American if I can say it. Huh? Don't tell me, say, you free? I say something. Why you can't say that? Oh, I'm not free if I can't say it. If it's right. If I'm wrong, correct me. So that's, we have to be very mindful of that and speak out. Write letters. Educate people who don't know the difference. Educate them. We owe that. And once again, as an African-American descendant of slavery and Jim Crow, some of Jim Crow during my lifetime. That's right. Yeah, even in Indiana, they didn't call it Jim Crow, but yeah, those sayings, keep my expression, they say, if you walk like a duck, you walk like a duck, dadgummit, it's a duck. Right? And Jim Crow was there everywhere. It was more obvious in the South. I saw that too. I seen the signs white only. And there was the fade down, but I saw that. So y'all best over here, we're down in Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Florida, seeing those signs. Now, if me and my people went through that, And now we fast forward because it's easier now and it's going on somewhere else. Then I have another obligation to say it because I went through it. Not I, me, but my people went through it. So we can't have it that way. We can't have it that way. You got questions later on.
Okay. I got
No, sir. You have to be quiet during Jummah.
Yes, sir.
So that's be of those who are not trying to pick sides. Of Palestinian side, or the Jewish side, or the American side, this side. We ain't picking sides, except for one side, righteousness and justice. To be on that side. And thereafter, let the chips fall where they may. Well, Allah says, tell the truth, be a witness to God, whether against rich or poor, your mother, your father, against yourself. Tell the truth, Allah take care of all of you. Tell the truth. But may Allah give us the, not courage. You say, I mean, you courageous. I'm courageous. I'm doing what Allah tells me to do. See, they're going to get you. They don't say with their mouth. You see with their eyes like, now they're going to get you. You spit in their face. And I think about our old friend, Elijah Muhammad. He says, you can get past Allah, come on. You can get past Allah, come on. Alhamdulillah. God come to us a lot.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Hayya Allah, Allah. Kakamatisullah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربي سبح اسم ربك الأعلى سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي أخرج المرعى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى وجعله غثاء أحوى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم صل على
That's in the Quran. So when you speak into a hobby, okay, this is a very lucrative. Okay, this is a good. We have people here from the college here, first time ever being here. You know, so we got to talk to learn to the people where we are. You know, so our history here, which maybe that you don't understand, I've been around here for over 50, 60 years. And I came out of the church. My people in here came out of the church. You got to understand where we came from and where we're going to. So the problem is, you know, that understanding over here may not be the right kind of place. Because we are speaking to the people where they're at, where we're at, to get to where Allah wants to be. Yes. And so when the Quran, it mentions in Surah 3, Ayah 110 and 112, it mentions the people of the book. Okay, and it says, they're all not alike. Some of them pray all night long like we do. And they, and Allah says, they'll get their good. And the Quran says, be you Muslim Christians, you were saving it. That's in the Quran. So I can't say it here, and it's in the Quran. No, it's wrong place, wrong time. Allah said it, so I can say it. It's in the Quran. He says, be you Muslim Christians, you were saving it. If you are good, Allah will give you your reward. But he didn't break it down by the definition other than that. And then when the prophet was single, that's all I was saying. After he became prophet, didn't the Christian from Nazareth come to him? Didn't the Christian from the St. Catherine come to him for protection? And he allowed them to do their Christian prayer in the mosque? Come on, man. Oh, we, no. He didn't pay a big price. And we didn't compromise it at all. But we know where we came from. Allah blessed us. And where are we going to? That's right. That's right. See, so we, I'm saying, it's always collective. But when you come to a progress, find out where the train started from and where he's going to, and who's the conductor. So you begin to say, well, you do this, you do that. But, you know, you're coming to stuff out of your music and give directions and stuff. Because we didn't pay too big of a price. This price. People in the cemetery from this community. So we can say, yeah, you're going to love how other people are. So I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. Thank you. All right. Alaykum as-salam.
Come on. You can get out of here with this, Jim.
Maybe.
evidence convincing, like the seeing with the eye. This is the message of the Quran. Should we, knowing this, having this great knowledge, should we preach today like the man preached to the people in primitive times? Should we use the same language? Should we compose our text to satisfy the primitive, the jinn, and the primitive people? When we live in a society that is enlightened, we live in an enlightened society. The society has the primitive nature. We are caught in the grip of primitive nature, but we are an enlightened society. To bring the man out of his primitiveness, shouldn't you appeal to his strength? You should appeal to his enlightenment. But if he has no enlightenment, you have to appeal to his common sense, to his good nature. But when the man has some enlightenment, shouldn't you appeal to his enlightenment? To shame him, to let him know how he now has fallen beneath his own standards, has fallen beneath his own doctrine? Yes. Some people want me to stand up here and just quote hadith. Some people would like for me to read the Quran letter for letter and quote hadith and not bother referring or comparing the Bible with the Quran. They are backwards. They are still in primitive days. They have allowed themselves to lose sight on the key for success. The key for success is to stay in tune with the time, with the nature and the demands of time. You don't come and preach to Christians like you preach to a heathen who's been worshiping sticks and stones. Even if you find a Christian worshiping sticks and stones, you don't address him as though he's a heathen worshiping sticks and stones. If you find a man drunk, do you address him as a drunk? Or do you address him as a human being with intelligence? Say, man, you should be ashamed of yourself, getting in this fix, giving yourself to this weakness. Look what you're doing to your wife. Look how you're shaming yourself before your children. We don't apply the same rules of intelligence in religion that we apply in our daily life. Now, I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, that much of the Quran is yet to be understood by the Arabs. In order to understand the predicate and the subject, they need to study the Jewish people and the Christian people more. They need to study the books that have been revealed to those people so they can see what problems was the Holy Quran addressing, what problems was Allah addressing through his Prophet Muhammad, that were existing in the texts of the Jews and in the texts of the Christians. Don't isolate yourself from this world that God was speaking to. God was addressing this whole world. Atheists, Christians, Jews, and whatever they are, Allah addressed the whole world through Prophet Muhammad. And anyone who thinks he can come from Arabia and close his eyes to the whole world and teach us the Quran is a blind fool. He cannot understand the Quran in any appreciable fashion until he first understands the environment that he's in. And when he leaves Arabia and comes to America, he's in a drastically different environment. So he should stop worrying about the superficial things, the ritual, the ritualistic thing. He should give up his fear of losing the things that are close to him in his Arabian environment. And he should become conscious of the things that have been lost from the Jewish environment, from the Christian environment that God intended for them. And he revealed the Quran to guide us back to the way, not only Muslims, Jews, Christians, all of us. have to accept that Abraham is our father. Adam is our father. Also, Abraham is our father. Adam represents the common man. The common man is our father. But also, Abraham is our father. We have been raised by our common fathers, and we have been raised by God's prophets. The first father is a common man. The second father is a prophet of God. Isn't that right? God says of Abraham, Abikum Ibrahim, your father Abraham. Yes, so that's our father. Why he didn't say your father Moses? Moses was a prophet. Why he didn't say your father Jesus? Jesus was a prophet. Why he said your father Abraham? Because Abraham is a prophet whose role was that of a parent, a father responsible for his children. Abraham was raised up among pagan people who had lots of ignorance, primitive ignorance. And Abraham was guided to search for truth with a rational eye. He observed the stars and the sun and everything, and he saw in the movement of sky a sign that there was a creator, a planner, a designer behind all of this, and that he's not one, two, he's not three, pardon me, two, three, and four, he's not many. He's one. He saw one nature, one creation, and one pattern, one design dominating throughout the whole creation. And he says there's one God, and there is no God associated with that God. Everything else is servant. Everything else is creation and servant, only one God. Abraham said that. Then Abraham was moved to even share his own life, the life of his own Lord, to serve people. Abraham is a symbol of charity. He was ready to kill his own son to please God. But God told him that having the desire was the same as effecting it. That he had not, God didn't want him to kill his son. But he had shown faith because he was willing to kill his son. That even his own child could be sacrificed. He was going to please God. So Abraham was moved by two strong influences. The search for truth. Rational motivation. And he was moved by faith. Faith in God. A faith that did not weaken even when his own child's life was at stake. His faith did not weaken. And God told him to kill the ram, the sheep. Kill the lamb. Let that be the sacrifice. And feed it to the people. So he took one of his lambs and he shared it with his neighbors, with his people, with fellow men. Is that right? So he, instead of killing his son, he practiced charity. He practiced charity. So this brought Abraham to be also the symbol of charity, of charitableness. In our religion, he's a great symbol of charity. And he's a symbol of rational searching for truth. And the symbol of strong faith. He's all of these. Is that right? Isn't that in every human being that really loves God sincerely, that really want to be right with God? Aren't those the things that's staring in him, moving him on? A desire to be right by others. Is that right? a desire to be truthful, a desire to be rational and not stupid or silly. We're not satisfied with a religion that's mystified and superstitious. We want reality. The human nature presses us to find reality, to find the absolute truth, to find truth unveiled, separated from superstition and mystery. Is that right? We are moved like that. Abraham is a symbol of that, the symbol of that thirst for naked truth. He wouldn't accept any superstition. He wouldn't accept half-truths. He wanted the whole truth, the plain, rational truth. What brought him to seek it and not give up? Faith in God. The strength of Abraham was his faith in God. This shows you, brother and sister, what will make the best scientist. The best force to move the scientist to his highest peak, to his greatest glory, is faith in God. Right faith in God will lead you to truth and you will never give up. You will die on the path of truth. Right faith in Almighty God. Yes, right faith in Almighty God brings out the rational man and brings out the moral man and also brings out the charitable person. Because as long as we are short of truth, believing, having faith in God, as long as we are short of truth, we are not satisfied. If truth say, oh, you still have to go a little bit more. Say, well, what is the next step I have to take, truth? You have to give up your own son's life. That truth seeker will say, son, I'm sorry, but there has to be a sacrifice today. And Abraham, he was weeping, but he said, son, there has to be a sacrifice today. Because I know God is God. And I know that I have been inspired to do this thing. And I'm going to do it because I believe in truth. He didn't say, well, this is my son. I can rationalize here. No, if you believe God speaking, if God says take the son's life, you have to obey if you're a man of truth. Yes, so he says that Abraham, when he was about to take his son's life, God says, no, Abraham. Says, the vision that you had, you've already fulfilled it. Meaning that God only did this to test you, Abraham. God was not really, was not wanting your son's life. God was wanting to bring out before humanity the faith for in the human being, the love for God, and the faith that the human being has in his God, that he will even slay his most beloved son if he think God asked that of him. Oh, isn't that wonderful? This is not God's nature, this is human nature. God is showing us the beauty of human nature, that this creature that we laugh at, we call him primitive, we laugh at him, that he carried his children up and sacrificed them to his God. He would take his 12-year-old son and sacrifice it to his false God. We look on it and say, oh, look at primitive man, how stupid it was, how he sacrificed his young son to a God that he believed in. But God wanted to show us that in that human being, in that ignorance that you laugh at, is the power for social salvation. That if a human being can sacrifice the thing most dearest to him, while believing that God wants it of him, that same human being can solve all of our social problems and share the wealth of the nation with other people for God's sake, but he can't do it for his own sake. So we look back in history and we laugh at the stumbling, the crawling and the stumbling of human beings trying to reach their destiny on earth. But God says, no, that's not anything for you to laugh at. That human beings sacrificed their sons. They believed in the God. The stone was not the God. The tree was not the God. The wind was not the God. The lightning was not the God. None of those things were the God. The earth and its fertility was not the God. But that individual believed that it was the God. And he sacrificed his own child's life, his private child's life, to please the God. A sign that if you have faith in God, there is nothing we can't accomplish. In the area of human problems. Nothing we can't accomplish in the area of human problems. Look how men lead the whole nation astray, corrupt the whole society for love of self, for love of a woman, for love of a small brat. But look how other human beings sacrifice the most beloved in the family, sacrifice them for the sake of God. But God says he want not burnt sacrifices. He want no human sacrifices. That the sacrifice he wants is a repentant heart. A heart that regrets. A heart that feels remorse. A heart that cries because it sees its sins and confesses. Yes. That's what God wants of us. And look how he showed us that in Abraham. The man was about to kill his own son. God says, no, what you were asked for in the vision, you have already done it. The intention is there, Abraham. You had the pure intention. Your intention was to sacrifice your own son's life if it stood in the way of God. If it blocked the way of God, you were willing to sacrifice your own son's life. Say, Abraham, now, here. Here is the strength you need. Here is the decision you need, Abraham, to make this society right. There are men that hoard up gold, men that keep the fat calf for themselves. They keep the lamb for themselves, and they give the poor the cheap, inferior things. Say, Abraham, now here, you are the one that I'm going to make father of the nation. The man who has the faith in God so strong that he follows truth to his end and he follows the path of social struggle to his end, even though it asks of the thing that's most dear to him, he give it to please Almighty God. We have to believe that Abraham is the ideal image, a symbol of the leadership in the society. Prophet Muhammad, he's the last prophet. The last prophet. The most complete of all the prophets. But even Prophet Muhammad called Abraham his father. Abraham's also his father. Yes. And the order of Prophet Muhammad is the order of Abraham. The upright one. Isn't that what Allah says to us? Milla Ibrahim Hanifa. The order of Abraham, the upright one. That is the order established by Prophet Muhammad. It wasn't established by Abraham. He was just a symbol of it. A symbol of what had to come. But there had to be somebody to bring the complete revelation, to fulfill the book, and complete the ordering of society. And establish what Abraham began and what he was what he was and still is a symbol of. Prophet Muhammad was given that mission and he did it. Now I bring this talk to a close with again the words of the Quran. God says that he created us from the clay and from a semen drop and a clot of blood, congealed blood, and a lump of flesh, the fetus lump. And he formed in the fetus lump of flesh, bone. Then he clothed the bones with flesh. Thereafter he began or he made another, a new creation. These are the words of the Quran. Now, let us look at this. Flesh comes lastly in this forming of the being in the womb of the mother. Is that right? Flesh comes last. Now, we know in Western religion, and even in many religions, East and West, flesh has become the mark of sin. Have become almost synonymous with the term sin. Flesh is sinful. Almighty God says that he formed the man in along these stages, structured his bones, then clothed his bones with flesh. Says, and then another creation. The seventh one comes, is a new creation, the seventh one. So this tells us that the sixth one is the highest of the first creation. Is that right? Yes, because it began with clay, semen drop, and all up until it comes with the bones, and then he clothes the bones with the flesh. So flesh is the highest one. What are we to understand, Muslim, from this? How is this to be understood? In many, many ways. But let's go directly to the essential message for the scriptural people. Knowledge. Knowledge. Man comes into knowledge, and knowledge is what dresses the society. Before knowledge comes, passions, blood relations, blood ties, and other things hold the society and dress the society. Primitive custom. Is that right? Yes, tradition, custom. These things hold the society. But once man gets into knowledge, he breaks out of tradition. He breaks out of custom. And he reformed tradition. He reformed custom. He might sacrifice tradition. He might sacrifice custom. Because custom changed over and over. Is that right? Yes. And when we call the people to Islam, don't we call them to leave their custom? We call them away from their traditions. We call them away from their custom. And what are we calling them with? Is it tradition calling tradition? Is it custom calling custom? It's knowledge. So we grow up, what is the highest level? Knowledge. Knowledge. It doesn't mean that it's most essential. It's most essential once it comes. But there's something even more important than that. It's nature. Human nature. If the human being is out of the human nature, the knowledge will not do you any good. Unless it can influence you to come back into your human nature. Is that right? So nature, human nature, is a faith. It's the foundation on the human form or the human vessel into which you must put the knowledge. And the knowledge enhances the value, the worth, and everything of the person. Is that right? Makes him even improve upon his human nature. But he has to have the right nature first. So look here now. The flesh is knowledge. That's what the flesh is. We're talking about flesh and religion. Man is born in sin. Flesh is sinful. The flesh is filled with lust. The knowledge is sinful when it's not right knowledge. The knowledge is filled with lust when it's not right knowledge. The people who studied so-called backward societies, so-called backward primitive cultures, their findings tell us that primitive man has not had a bigger problem with lust, as big a problem with lust as knowledge of so-called enlightened man. Knowledgeable man, so-called enlightened man, has had more problems with sex, the lust, than any other creature. The dog, as shameful as he is at times, look at his virtues. That dog has virtues that many of us have in Christianity, Judaism, and Islam don't have. Faithfulness, loyalty, and even cleanliness. Look how he hates to stay in his filth. The dog doesn't like to sleep in his filth. He'll go outside of the place he sleeps to make his filth. The place that he spends his nap and take his sleep and spend his time at night, he doesn't want filth in that place. The dog will go outside, even in your front room, and drop it, rather than drop it in that place where he has to sleep and stay. But look at some human beings, how they make the filth and let's sleep in it. And they're uncomfortable out of it. They got to hurry up and get back home and put their nose in the stink. Are you going to tell me flesh is bad? Flesh is the trouble? We have to stay on alert for the terrible, troublesome flesh? No. We have to be on alert for the terrible trouble from devious minds. Flesh is the base, it's the pillar. Flesh is the foundation for structuring society. What do we mean by that? The flesh is what gives us our first leader. Your first leader is given to you by the influences of the flesh. Hunger, pain, comfort, sexual intermixing with his companion, the fruit of that intercourse. All of that is what feeds us with human sentiments, with moral concepts and compassion, concepts of compassion, of sympathy, of love. Isn't that given to us by the flesh? The flesh gives us all of that. The flesh make me cuddle the baby. The flesh makes the baby want to cuddle thick, nice to me. The flesh make me want to hold my wife. The flesh make my wife want to hold me. Is that right? Yes. The flesh put little babies together. Look how they play and how nice they are. Look how they love to be cuddled. That's the flesh. The flesh says, feed me. And when you feed, the flesh says, thank you. Is that right? The flesh says, protect me. And when you protect the flesh says, thank you. So where is the problem in the flesh? The flesh is unclean. There's a sense in the flesh called the sense of smell. And this sense in the flesh says, get this away from me. Little baby crying. You carrying your filth on you, and you stinking so bad, we smell you 2 blocks away. And you are not crying, but that little baby, nobody taught the baby to cry when the stink is on it. Stink, get on the baby cries. So how is the flesh sinful? Huh? The flesh is the beginning of the evolution of society. It's the very first base. So in Islam, we don't reject flesh. Instead of rejecting it, we make flesh the base, the foundation of structuring society. We have to first acknowledge this, that man is made of flesh, and God has made flesh good, not bad, not sinful. Allah says that he has dignified every son of Adam. Those who study the Quran, they should understand that this doesn't mean the son of Christ, or the son of Moses, or the son of Idris, or the son of Jesus Christ, or the son of Abraham. It means what it says, the son of Adam. He has dignified every son of Adam. It's not necessary for another one to come and for us to have dignified sons. No, the son of Adam is dignified. What does that mean? The man who lives in his human nature, the man who lives under the influence of his flesh, is a dignified creature. It's my mind that leads me to commit sin. The flesh is the most obedient, form we have, the flesh. You know that? Right now, I've been talking to you for an hour or so. My flesh has not interfered with my talking to you, not once. I have come up here sometimes sick. Be truthful with you. I come up here, I feel like going to bed. I feel like I shouldn't be here. I come up here and I talk to you for 4 hours, 5 hours. My flesh stops complaining. Says he wants to do something more important, so I'm not going to complain. Before I was come up here, the flesh was complaining. Please take me home. I need to be in bed. Give me some tea or some aspirin. But as soon as I got up here and start doing something for God, something more valuable than saving the flesh from a headache. Temperature, the flesh, they go on, do your thing, man. This is more important than me. Where is that backward preacher going to come from to tell me flesh is sinful? How come it's sinful? If I go look at Playboy magazine and the flesh responds to the pictures that I accept, the flesh is not going to respond until I accept it. And the flesh ain't going to jump up there and say, hey, keep your eye on Playboy. No. But if I go there and put my mind to it and pick up the book and look at those Playboy magazines and all the other magazines and get my mind on that thing, then the flesh responds to my desire. Isn't that right? The flesh responds to my desire. But some of us are still so caught up in that old teaching that we can't understand. Prophet Muhammad, the peace and the blessings be upon him, he would not stand for a human being, a living human being. I don't care how big a shot you were. If you came and Prophet Muhammad was sitting, he didn't stand up out of respect for your position. And he insisted that no one stood up for him that way out of respect for his position. When he came in, no one had to, no one said, rise, attention, rise. No, when Prophet Muhammad came in, everybody was left sitting. They didn't have to rise up. But look what this great prophet did. A deceased body, a dead body. And that's all it is, the dead body. Once the life of the human being is out of the body, it's just a dead body. Here is nothing but a dead body being carried to its destination, to its final resting place. Prophet Muhammad stood up and taught his followers to stand up when the dead body is being passed by, or being coming past your way. So don't remain sitting and doing your thing, what you were doing. When the body comes by that has ceased and is going to its destination, stand. Religious fanatic. Why don't you let us get out of this crouch? But now you sit in the crowd for 4 and 6 hours. Why? The body accepts what you put on it. Oh, the flesh is sinful. No, no, no. Christianity has misunderstood the sign of Christ. The sign of Christ was not to condemn flesh. The sign of Christ was to restore flesh back to its great place of dignity, of great social worth. That's the sign of Christ. That here is a man in a flesh body, but he's righteous. He's not bothered by greed. He's not bothered by lust. He's righteous. He has full control of his life, and yet in a flesh body. They miss the message. The message is to establish that every human being's flesh is good, not bad. Only thing you have to do is separate yourself from your earthly father and follow the guidance of your heavenly father, Almighty God. Except to be formed from the very beginning of life by God's direction and not by the world's direction. And you can accomplish those things. Your flesh makes a problem for you because it is corrupted. The germ of false knowledge comes into it. The germs of worldly leadership come into your flesh. But if you keep out the germs of worldly leadership and let only the inspiration, the ruach, the inspiration of God, inspire your development, you will not have trouble with flesh. Flesh is a completely obedient servant. It is such a great servant that even the flesh now become a symbol of salvation. Is that right? Yes, the flesh of Christ become a symbol of salvation. They have faith in Christ that man's flesh did not commit sin, and that man, because of his righteousness, was resurrected and live again. Is that right? Yes. And he said, Christ in me and Christ in you. I in you and you in me. And we all in the Father. Not as separate bodies, but all under the same Spirit. The inspiration of God has formed me and directs me. Now through me it has formed you and it directs you. And the inspiration comes from God. We're all held by the same power and force. All held by the same influence. Is that right? So if he had no father, the church has no father. You ever heard of a father of the church? Yes. The Catholic father, he's the father of the church. Right? But look. The Bible says, call no man your father. Is that right? Yes. Call no man your father. But the father, he makes himself the father of a church. And Jesus, when they were calling him a rabbi, he rejected it. Is that right? Yes. And he told his people to call no man father except he that is in heaven. But they have fathers over the church. But look at the church. Look at the church and think about it. The man that's over the church is a preacher, a reverend, a shepherd. Only in Catholicism, he's a father. Is that right? Yes. He's not a father. Now look at the New Testament on Jesus himself in the church. It says that there was a wedding and a husbandman. Is that right? There was a man marrying a woman, a bride and a bridegroom. Ask them, who is the bride? They'll tell you, the bride is the church. Ask them, who is the groom? They'll tell you, the groom is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, the prophet, married the church. How can the preacher now, how can the bishop or the priest be the father of that church? Huh? Tell me, does that make sense? That Jesus, who made teachers under him, now one of the teachers become the father, and he is the husband. He's the husband marrying the girl, the bride. Right? And over the church now, over his wife is a father. Over Jesus' wife is a father. And that father is Father Peter or Father John or whatever you want to call it. How can that be? They will tell you, brother and sister, they will tell you that Jesus is the bride, the groom, and the church is his bride. They'll tell you that. And then they tell you that the priest now is the father of the church. How can he be the father of Jesus' bride? It doesn't make sense, does it? No, he cannot be the father. And if you live long enough, you're going to see the Catholic Church change even more. They're going to stop, they're going to outlaw the calling of father in the church. If you live long enough, you'll see this, inshallah. You're going to live to see the Catholic Church get rid of the title father from the church. They're quiet because it's not in line with their teaching. And everything that's not in line is going to have to be sacrificed. Yes. So in my conclusion now, I ask all of you to stop seeing flesh as sinful. This is a crippling ignorance on us that will never allow us to be healthy as a people and as a society. As long as we think that the flesh in which the human being is formed, from which we get our start, is sinful, that means that our beginning is sinful. That's too heavy a burden for human beings to carry and yet progress and aspire to human greatness. No, it's too heavy a burden. You become weird. You become spooky. You become unnatural beings because you don't want to face the naturalness that they have made sinful.
you become monks, nuns, witches, angels. You become things that you're not supposed to be. God wants us to be human beings. If we want to liberate society, we should spread this teaching. That God Almighty mission Prophet Muhammad to put flesh back on its high place of respect and dignity. The black stone, what do you think is symbolic of? Wasn't the black stone a shining star? Did God build the Kaaba on the heavens, on a shining star? No, the shining stone, the stone fell, and the light went out of it. And God used the black stone that had no light as the most precious stone in the building of the Kaaba, the Holy House. Is that right? It became the cornerstone, the essential stone for building the Kaaba, the house of God, our society. World society, human society. What is the meaning of that? Man had gone up in the sky and left his flesh nature behind him and had taken on the glow of angel nature. He was up in the sky shining as an angel and left his human form down here in the dirt, neglected. And God missioned the prophet to take the black stone and put it in the place to make it the corner of the building as a sign that God does not want the monk, the priest that never touched black. You know, they even made us not touch black. Up here until recently, all the man's underclothes were white. Yeah, you know that. And your flesh wasn't supposed to touch. No black touch your flesh out here. Especially around the heart. White undershirt and white drawers. To protect the black heart and the sinful loins. Right? Yeah. Gotta have the white to protect the black heart. That human being, that sinful creature with that black heart and troublemaking loins. But Almighty God inspired Prophet Muhammad, no, take the black stone and put it in its place as a sign that the world is going to be built all over again. And it shall begin with flesh. That flesh is the cornerstone of society. Isn't this a message that will inspire people and bring a new revolution, a new evolution for social excellence? Well, why come we don't preach it? That's what we should be preaching. And if we preach that, we will be fulfilling the sign of Christ. As Christ came not to make us nuns and monks, angels, that Christ's mission was to serve as a sign that the sin is not in the flesh. The sin is in the intention. What do you intend? Your nature is good. God has made you of excellent nature. But what is your intention, man? You can be spotless physically, but if your intention is bad, you're filthy. Is that right? Yes. So in the language of the gospel, it says, it is not what goes into the man, but what comes out of his heart. Is that right? It is what the thoughts that rise up in the human heart. And that makes some stupid people that don't understand the mystery of Christ. It makes them think that the heart is sinful. No, the heart is not sinful. The heart is good. But But if you allow sin to form in your heart, then the best part of you have become corrupt. That part that was meant for your salvation has now become the very instrument of your damnation. Is that right? Why? If I let corruption come in the best part of me, I'm inviting death. Yes. So Jesus was not saying that the heart is bad. Jesus the Christ or the gospel is saying to us, the spot to watch is the most precious spot. Don't worry about the places of less importance. Don't be so concerned about what the hand is doing, what the tongue is saying. There's something more precious, more vital to the human being's life than even his hand, than even his tongue. It's his intentions. And his intentions are influenced by his heart. The heart is a symbol of man's desire. Can we have a life without desire? Can society grow without desire? Shouldn't we have desire first in order to get something started? Where there's no desire, isn't there death? Find me a people with no desire. There's a dead people. So the very foundation, the very place for us to begin building society is the heart, the flesh. The heart is a symbol of the flesh, is the heart. And the heart is a symbolic of desire. We love creatures, and we think of the heart being that organ that's sending that love out. Is that right? The source of that. And we have other desires. So the ancient people saw the heart as a symbolic of the seat of desire. The seat of desire. The source of the desire. God does not reject the human heart. God accepts the human heart. And God does not say the human heart is sinful. God says the human heart is good. How can we build society saying the human heart is bad? If we get started, we have to start with the human heart. I don't care how great your knowledge is or how great my ability is to reach you in my knowledge. If your heart is bad, we won't get anywhere. Now you see our mistake. Can't you see our mistake? We have called flesh sinful, and really what they meant was that the heart was sinful. They say the human being is a creature with a black sinful heart. God say, no, no. Good gracious, no. This is a terrible lie, an outrage. Prophet Muhammad, tell my creatures that I have made them in the best of molds, that I have made their shapes and their form most excellent, that I have given them their features and I have made them handsome, beautiful. Here is God trying to wash out that old stuff you've just been putting into your mind through his prophet, telling you that he has made your form and have made them most beautiful, that he has made your nature in the best of molds, and that matters are judged by intention. This is the rule in Islam. He didn't say matters are judged by the degree of logic you are able to exercise. He didn't say matters are judged by your moral excellence. There are some people who live on high standards of moral excellence. But when you search into there, into the core of that moral edifice they have established, you find Satan himself in the heart of it. Yes. No, but God inspired Prophet Muhammad to tell us that the intention, that is the beginning of it. That's the beginning of it, and that's the end of it. And God is going to judge us by our intentions. Because man is not always responsible for his knowledge. The human being is not God. He cannot be sure that what he understands to be right is right. But what about your intention? Say, God, that appeared to me so convincing. It was rational. It was logic. It compared. It agreed with everything that you said of Scripture. God will say, but what was your intention, man? Was your intention to rob? Was your intention to escape judgment? Was your intention to get glory and recognition for yourself? What was your intention, man? So God says, build society upon the strength of the human heart, upon flesh in its excellence, because that's what I'm going to judge you by. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum.
Fear. The fear. All praise is due to Allah.